big old can of good times. Unwind, falling out of love in the same night.
Welcome back to the Jeff Horst Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks so much for listening. 34 minutes after the hour on this Monday morning. Joining the program now, pleasure to introduce he is formerly the probate judge in Pike County, but now in the Alabama legislature. State Representative Wes Allen joins us on the line. Representative, good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Thank you for making time for us. We do appreciate it. I think you're kind of in the middle of something that's got some not national attention because of anything Alabama is doing, but what's going on in Arkansas and this push on in these hormone blockers, all in the name of this, I guess, these transgender issues that come up from time to time. But in Alabama, this issue is at the forefront as well. Talk mm-hmm. a little bit about your bill and what you're trying to accomplish here on that issue.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. We've been watching very closely what happened in Arkansas. And they had a very similar proposal that outlaws and prohibits the administration or issuance of puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and outlaws transitioning surgery for minors. And so we watched that go on, and, of course, the governor out there vetoed that. But the legislature overrode that veto, and it's now law in Arkansas. And I want to congratulate our counterparts out there for doing that to protect children. And our bill, HB1 and SB10, Senator Shelnut has the companion bill in the Senate. And, our bill does very similar. It's, for anyone who is a minor, these medications, which are powerful medications, that seek to arrest, is a good word, arrest, natural puberty. When, we've all been through that, and so puberty is not a disease, and so we want to outlaw those, make sure those medications are not available to minors because they're just not mature enough to make those decisions on their own, and we want to make sure that we protect them and make sure that we protect their bodies.
And it's interesting watching the whole Arkansas experience and in South Dakota, Asa Hutchinson and Kristi Noem. And there was this insinuation. They both pushed back against the legislature and their efforts in those states to at least put some kind of limits on these puberty blockers. Is there anything sort of going on? I don't know if you've heard from Governor Ivey or if you get a sense that there might be big business that would tell, that would try to persuade others in state government not to support your effort. What's that dynamic like as far as you can tell?
Now, Jeff, I hadn't heard really anything like that as far as, other than the emails and the things that I get in opposition of the bills. But, listen, it's, right now, we don't want to have children that are on these medications because once they go on the puberty blockers, what the studies show, there's 98% that go on to the cross-sex hormones. And so what happens is when those puberty blockers are administered to adolescent or adolescent children that are going through that growth stage of puberty, of course, there's so much growth going on, brain development, muscle development, so forth, that those puberty blockers depress and they restrict the growth of that young person. So when they come off the puberty blockers, they are behind their peers in physical development. And so they have to go on those cross-sex hormones to catch them back up to their peers. And so the studies suggest that 98% of them, once they come off the puberty blockers, go to the cross-sex hormones. And, listen, it's we don't allow minor children to be sterilized, drink alcohol, smoke cigarettes, or rent a car. I mean, we got laws to make sure that we buckle them up in the back seat, when they're riding down the road to make sure we protect our children. I heard kind of an analogy is that we've got laws that, that prevent doctors from prescribing anabolic steroid hormones to child athletes, even if the parents want them. So, you know, we're in this to protect our children and protect kids, at least until they get to the age of majority. And once they do get to the age of majority, you know, they're adults. They can go make those choices when they're adults.
Representative, what led you to take up this cause? You know, I know it's gotten a lot of headlines in the news lately, but was there an incident, or was it something, maybe a story you saw that made you think that this is something that we need to address in the legislature?
Yeah, somebody brought it to my attention that it was going on in Alabama, and I really couldn't believe it. But as I got more into it and did some more reading and looking into it, it was going on in our state. And these children are being prescribed these puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones at a very early age. And that was something that, you know, that I just was passionate about protecting these kids and these children. And, you know, listen, the bill we have makes exceptions for things such as precocious puberty. You know, when a 5 or 6 or 7 year old young person has that early onset of puberty, you know, they've been using these medications to restrict that and to hold that off until they get 11 or 12 years old and then go through the normal development. And it also makes exceptions for other verifiable sexual disorders that can be, you know, that can be tested and found out through a blood test or a lab. So we've got a good, strong bill. It's very solid. It has been through the Senate with a strong, strong vote. And then it's been through, of course, the House, Health Committee, the Senate version, that is. So, it's ready. It's sitting all ready to go to get on the House floor. And, we're looking forward to get that opportunity.
Yeah, with just a few weeks left to go, I guess, you feel pretty optimistic. It's got to get a floor vote.
I am. And, you know, you know, I've had a lot of my colleagues asked me, you know, hey, when's the bill coming up? We're ready to go. We're ready to vote. So, you know, it's they've seen it. They kept up with it. They know the issue. And so I'm ready to present SB 10 on the House floor when that time comes.
Joined by State Representative Wes Allen of Troy on the program. Representative, move on to your efforts to. I can't believe we have to have a law saying that this is something that we should not have in Alabama, but to ban curbside voting, that there is a school of thought out there. We saw with the federal judge wanted to legalize, I guess by judicial fiat, curbside voting, and the state fought it successfully, and you didn't have curbside voting, but you want to make sure that language is in the code that says, no, we're not going to do this in Alabama.
Yeah, you know, that came obviously from that federal judge writing that order, and we've got to make sure we put it in state law because we want to make sure we protect the integrity of the elections. And I want to take this opportunity to thank Representative Matt Simpson, who is really a conservative superstar down around, you know, the Mobile Baldwin area, and he handled the bill for me on the floor because I was out sick. That day it got passed off the floor and couldn't make it. And so I just wanted to publicly thank him. He, Representative Matt Simpson, did a great job presenting the bill on the House floor that day. But it is some good, strong language to make sure we protect election integrity and the security and integrity of the ballot. We've seen what happens around the country in several other states back in November 2020. And this law, or this bill, goes a long way to protecting our elections.
Yeah, and I mentioned this, you're a former probate judge in Pike County, but election integrity, it seems to be kind of everything right now, especially with what we saw happen in Georgia this last cycle, at least the perception that something untoward was going on. But do you find that now it's maybe something your constituents are really pushing that we need to put these measures in place to make sure that our elections are where they need to be?
Yeah, strengthening election law is important. It's something that I've heard a lot from my constituents here in District 89 in Troy and Pike County and Dale County. They're concerned about it. Like I said, they saw what happened to our neighbors to the east and up in the Midwest, some of those states. So we're addressing a few issues in the legislature. One is HB 285, which is the ban on curbside voting. And, you know, the photo voter ID is an important piece of legislation that we've had in our state for a very long time. And, you know, back when I was a probate judge, when we administered that new law, there wasn't any problems to it whatsoever here in Pike County. It was just, you know, everybody just showed their driver's license or another form of ID, and it was no problem at all. And, you know, listen, the state of Alabama has done a very good job executing that law, the voter ID law. But, you know, just remember, you know, if there are people out there without valid voter ID in Alabama, you know, the state will give them a free photo voter ID, and they'll go to their home, you know, and they'll take their photo. They'll make their ID for them for free of charge. So the state's done a very good job implementing it, and I don't think there's been any issue as far as someone having to show their ID.
Well, I tell you how much we spend a lot of oxygen and time talking about voter ID and you know, all of these sort of issues around the ability to vote and the difficulties involved. And look, I get what happened in this last cycle that you had to do some things to because of COVID to try to mitigate the threat of COVID, you know, with our elections. They did some things to tweak around the edges or whatever that might be. But on the other hand, I just wonder how many people are really impacted by any of this. Most people go on election day, they vote, and here we are. We have to spend a lot of time on these little issues. I guess they all add up at some point. But in your experience as a probate judge, you mentioned that the voter ID wasn't really a problem. Like, did you ever hear at any time when you were there administering the elections in Pike County that there were any obstacles or difficulties that needed to be addressed to the voting system?
No. I mean, as far as the photo voter ID goes, no, we, you know, as a probate judge, you know, we're the chief elections official in every county, and we hold poll worker instructional school, and that's where it starts. And you know, those poll workers out there do a great job administering the election on election day. And when we teach them and go through the process, when that law first went into effect, I think it was 2014, you know, we just walked through it with them, and they did a great job administering it. I'd never heard anything negative on requiring somebody to show their driver's license.
I mean, sometimes it seems like these issues are created for the sake of stirring up emotions, for getting people engaged. And there's elements, and a lot of them come from outside of the state, that want to say to a certain constituency that they want to keep you from voting. They don't want you to vote. You need, and it's used as a, I guess, the knee-jerk reaction would be to go vote. So it's being used as a get-out-to-vote mechanism.
Yeah, it's not used to suppress vote. I mean, come on. It's a way to protect our elections and to prevent fraud. That's the bottom line. And to, you know, it's really interesting about trying to suppress the vote. I think 2020, we were at around 62% turnout in the state of Alabama, somewhere along in there. But I think the highest turnout ever that I've seen is back in 08. I think it was 78 or 73% turnout back in November, general election in 08. So, you know, we've got good policies in place. Alabama was recognized for running and having strong elections. And like I said, it's photo voter ID law is strong.
And that's the interesting thing, that you had a lot of these measures in place at the time, and you were Democrats were still able to get Doug Jones elected statewide. I know there were some other circumstances there, but it wasn't as if the Republican-led legislature and the governor and were working against a system that when things do line up, If the rules are there for everyone to know what they are, that most people can get it together enough to get an ID, show up at a voting precinct and cast a ballot, and a Democrat can win, that there's not necessarily suppression in the way, a rampant suppression the way it's being portrayed a lot of times.
No, I agree with you, Jeff. You just put it great. And listen, the voter registration is at an all-time high in the state of Alabama. So I agree with what you just said. You did put it very good.
Yeah, and that's why it makes me think that, you see what's going on here. It feels like it's just being used for political purposes to either make the state look bad and maybe increase the role of the federal government, like an HR1 or something, or that it's being used as a get-out-the-vote mechanism that, you know, that will inspire some left-leaning Democrat voters to actually go out and vote.
Yeah, that HR1 is, we've seen a lot of headlines on that. I know you've seen it. You've probably talked a lot about it, even though I don't get an opportunity to hear you in Troy because of the affiliate issue. But I'm sure you talked about it. That HR1 is,
yeah.
That's a dangerous piece of legislation in D.C.
Yeah, they want to federalize elections. Representative, we're out of time here up against the break, but as always, I appreciate you coming on and making time to talk about these important issues.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jeff, for having me on. Thank you for what you do.
We'll do it. We'll do it again real soon. That was State Representative Wes Allen of Troy. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back to wrap it all up. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Perhaps I may become a highwayman again.